lot of soul.
This is Bass Talk Live. Your host, Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack. BTL is brought to you by Lowrance. Strike King Lures, Bass Cat Boats, Ducket Fishing, Spro, AFCO, Big Bite Baits, Sunline, and TH Marine. BTL coming at you. Good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome once again to another edition of BTL. Bass Talk Live, where we're going to talk bass fishing and anything else that Matt and I want to talk about. Matthew, yesterday my trip to the dentist, dude, I got to tell you, it was kind of bizarre.
Okay.
Kind of bizarre. It was jam-packed. I had to be there at 7:45 a.m.
The dentist office was packed at 7:45 in the morning.
It was unbelievable, man. They're just moving people through an assembly line.
Okay.
Is the best way I can describe it. So I had a little issue because I do not like going to the dentist.
Okay.
I'm not a fan. I kind of have a phobia a little bit. So they give me the gas. Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm having some work done on my teeth.
Relax you a little bit.
Yeah. Well, last time when I had the root canal and all that stuff and everything, they gave me a mask and they said, bring this next time. Okay. Well, I went to grab my mask before I went in because they come out and they take your temperature and ask you a bunch of questions in your car before you can go to the office. Do you have your mask? Yeah, I have it right here. And I grabbed it and it was all scrunched up and it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't fit because it was like this latex rubber kind of stuff. It wouldn't fit, wouldn't have a mask, wouldn't work. And they didn't have another one. So I had to go in the chair. Afraid. Yeah, I'm afraid. I do not like drills and dentists and all that stuff without the gas.
Oh.
I was terrified.
But it went smooth.
But I powered through it. Yeah, I was there for like 40 minutes and I've got the permanent in now. And it's a weird, weird, weird feeling. No shots, no numbing. To have that drill going on in your mouth and you feel that drill against your teeth,
mm-hmm.
Not a good feeling. Not a good feeling.
You have officially replaced weather with dentist stories now.
it's an experience. It's an experience. It's kind of like, getting that treble hook stuck in your mouth. If you're a fish, I guess.
No,
it was painful.
Not at all like that. Do you eat bluegill with dorsal fins and crawfish with exoskeletons and stuff?
No, no, no.
Well, there
you go.
There ain't no different than
they're
a
badass.
Hook and a bluegill.
So anyway, hopefully I will not have to make a trip to the dentist anytime soon. Good show today, folks. We're going to have Matt Heron on here just in a few minutes. Big event going down next week at Lake Gunnersville in the fall.
Mm-hmm. We had him on the last time they were coming to Gunnersville, and they were going there in the summer, wasn't it? Or it was a different time of the year than
No, it was
normally.
A classic. We had him on right before the classic.
It was a different time of year than they normally go there. So we got spring and fall.
Yeah, so we're going to get his take on what might happen this next week on Lake Gunnersville. I personally am totally intrigued on this event because it's going to be a grind. It's not going to be the typical Gunnersville event.
When did Jamie Hartman win on Gunnersville? Wasn't that a little bit later, too?
That was
more of a summertime event.
Might have been.
Mm-hmm. They haven't hit Gunnersville in the exact time that they usually always have.
No.
But they've hit it three times recently.
Yeah. Is it going to be a grass thing? Is it going to be a frog thing?
I'll tell you what I'd be doing. I'd be punching grass.
By the way, excellent video out there, man. A lot of good feedback.
You watched it.
A lot of comments from people. And, you know, maybe when the winning person, I don't know, there isn't a place in Oklahoma you can go punch grass, is there?
Whatever the
winning bid is.
Talking about the BTL YouTube channel. Put the 2020 episode out from the Sam Rayburn Open. It's about 20 minutes long, but no wind on Rayburn. Very little wind. So great
Very
audio.
Rare.
Great audio on this one. Had a awesome co-anglers both days, but I feel like my day one co-angler, Noah, really made the video with his commentary.
He was awesome.
You know, I'd hook up on a big one and he'd be like, oh my, in the back, in the back of the boat. And
he was awesome.
I didn't realize it, but like this dude kept like talking and asking me questions, and I was so dialed into the zone, I didn't even respond to him. He kept saying, hey man, can I help you? Would you like some help with that?
I'm very polite.
And I just would just cold shoulder, not even respond. I felt kind of bad watching it, but anyway.
That's kind of messed up, man. He's trying to help you out.
Yeah, I know. It went really well. You can go watch that on the B.
Very entertaining.
And, yeah, and then I have little clips and stuff that I've been putting up. Did you see the section that I just found it while I was editing this stuff where that mystery bird almost hits me?
Yeah. Did you figure out what kind of bird
it
was?
No, so I was watching, trying to, and I mean, dude, like I said, I run this thing for 7-8 hours.
Yeah.
And it was a stroke of luck that I was listening, trying to edit, and I just hear, shoop. And I go, what was that? Literally, I didn't see it. And I heard it while I'm watching the video. And I hear, shoop. I'm like, so I go back and I see something streak through, and some sort of agile bird. Like
very quick bird.
Dive bomb probably 6 inches above the camera and a foot from my head at head level. And I never even noticed it on the water. It's actually in the little recap video that I kind of put out, kind of promoting the video on my Instagram, at Matt Pangrack, P-A-N-G-R-A-C.
Nice plug.
Hey, I plugged the Bass Tank and AFCO yesterday. I got to get the personal plug in now.
Jeez.
But yeah, that was cool. And then I'm also working on this next video you will enjoy because
the river video.
Yeah, the Arkansas River, the ABA will also be out because I've got another one on Texoma this upcoming weekend. So I can't get behind, as you pointed out.
Yeah.
Where the hell's the video, man? I don't know. I'm fishing every single weekend, through Sunday, doing BTL Monday,
man.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Mark.
Get busy.
But this one is unique because I caught myself mid meltdown, and I said,
you never have a meltdown.
I said, I'm spinning out, dude. I said, I'm about to spin out. And I caught myself and I turned that around.
That's the impressive part, right?
Yeah,
that you caught yourself.
There are several times where I didn't realize I said it. I literally looked at my car and go, I have no clue what the hell is happening right now.
Well, you're making a trip to bank.
I might have used
good,
the term bitterly disappointed.
And then the shell bed just suddenly turned on based upon the decision that you made,
right?
Correct?
Correct. Now, here's the thing.
It was
I
you.
I got some stuff I really want to put in there. But it's a pond I'll probably have to fish again in the future, right?
Oh, you want to be a little secretive. You don't want to spill the juice.
Secretive, but I don't really want people to go, huh. That's
what is there a landmark? Is there an identifiable object?
Yes.
I remember. Did you ever fish?
So what do you do?
You put it out, dude. They still got to go catch them. They still got to go catch them.
Dude, there were 21 keepers in 3 days cut off of one cast.
Dude,
in September.
Are you given GPS coordinates?
No, you don't need GPS coordinates.
Oh, it's that obvious.
It's kind of obvious. It's a very...
What, is there a battleship sitting right by it? I mean, what are you talking about?
It's just some landmarks that don't exist anywhere else on the river. It's not man-made or anything. It's natural, but if you've driven past this area, you're like, oh, I know where that is. I mean, it's as far as...
Is it a community hole?
I don't fish the river enough to know. It very well could be. It could be... Old Jim Bob's community hole that everyone on the Thursday afternoon
put out the
jackpot.
Juice, man. Fans, give us feedback. What do you want them to do? Obviously, the fans are going to want the juice. And how many people are really going to pay attention to that?
I don't know. I've gotten a lot of people. I got to go in, so I'm not logged into the BTL account on my personal computer, which is why I don't respond to a lot of the comments on the Instagram or on the YouTube page, but everyone was like, oh no, some guys were like, I can't believe that guy did that. He was hunting for the birds.
Oh, now we're back to the Rayburn.
Yeah, now we're back to Rayburn. So I'm putting out the juice for the river so everyone can go catch 10 pounds.
All right. Rayburn.
So Rayburn, I show up and this guy's in a mud motor. Now here's what I didn't have. So I didn't run the camera the entire run. So as you enter the cove, here's the deal. This guy is just idling around. He is not running through the grass.
He's looking.
He's just sitting there. Almost like he's waiting for someone to come.
He was out to get you, man.
And as soon as I get in there, he beelines to get in front of me and then starts running the grass edges. While he's staring at me with the motor down, waiting for me to say something. And as soon as I just make a motion, that's when he stops. Now, what also it didn't show was this guy ran every other grass edge in Veatch. Uh-huh. Every single one for the next hour. Completely screwing with guys. It was almost as if.
So it wasn't just you.
I don't know what else happened, but I mean, no. I mean, if you're fishing it. It was almost as if he had a friend who said, hey, I'm fishing brush piles. And it would be awesome if you decided.
We have a conspiracy.
It would be awesome if you decided.
Oh, my goodness.
To maybe go look for some teal. Sail on grass edges in Veatch for the first 2 hours of the morning.
Wow. Because
it was
conspiracy.
It was a Thursday morning at 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
The guy was not there to look for birds. He was there to be a jackass.
And you just happened to be in the area.
Yes. He would have done it to anybody.
Conspiracy.
I'm just saying.
He
and people are like, oh, I'm sure
you.
He was looking for the birds. No, he was looking for anybody in that area, and he was looking for a fight.
He was not a tournament angler.
It would have been different if when I had rolled in there, yeah. He had been running those grass edges and cutting back through
but
the
he
hydrilla
was not in
and
there.
All that. He was in there, but he wasn't running it.
He was just sitting there.
Yes. And as soon as he saw me headed back there, he cut in front of me, which is not on the video, and then started running all the edges.
Oh, that's not good.
That's where
not
it's
cool.
Different. And even if he was looking for birds, don't you think the right thing to do would have been like, oh, guess what? I have a week and a half before the damn teal season opens. Let's let this guy fish his freaking grass edge before I rip through it with the mud motor.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not cool.
So you can watch it. Let me know what your guys' opinion is on it.
Yeah.
I think I handled it well.
Oh, you did?
I mean, there's a couple beeps in there, but it was...
Nah.
Not directed towards him. Said, hey, man.
Were you mad?
I wasn't mad. I was just in disbelief. I mean, how many times have I run up to a spot in the morning? Like, where else was I where I was fishing? Oh, at Rayburn. One of the mornings of practice also. I started. And I was like, I'm going to fish this grass edge the mm-hmm. second to last morning. And I get there and there's a damn otter that stays 10 feet in front of me and is going in and out of the grass edge. Well, what do otters eat? Bass. Like, if I'm a bass, why am I going to eat a buzz frog or a punching bait when there's an otter trying to take a chunk out of my back? Uh-huh. But I would have much rather an otter been there than this guy.
Yeah.
That got me fired up. I was kind of tired coming in this morning. But, yeah, it was...
It's a great video, though. It really is. And,
oh, my dad texted me. He said, do not give up your hotspot. Minimize exposure if possible.
Well, what's his name? Mike in New York says, do not put it out. You don't need a flotilla checking you out next time on the river.
Yeah, but how many guys? I'm trying to think. Like, I mean, I'd been on that river 3 times before.
Yeah.
I don't really
You're
going
to have to tell me what the landmark is.
What's the downside?
Because I don't know what's down there.
I can show you the video. I'm just saying, it's a spot on the Arkansas River in September where I caught 21 keepers over the course of 3 days on a drop shot in a tournament where there were 3 limits weighed in 2 days.
That's the juice.
Like, I came back through the lock. I'd had a limit in half an hour, and the other 5 guys in the lock combined for 4 keepers.
Yeah.
In Kerr.
Because they tried to do the typical thing that you would do this time on the river.
Yeah.
And they failed. But you found something very unique. So, I don't know, man. Your call.
Call smallmouth crush. He likes a good conspiracy theory. Anyway, hey, I don't know if I finished it.
Is there a way to put it out there without giving up the juice? You know, Harold Allen was a master at telling people what's going on without telling people what's going on.
I think I might be able to do it.
Yeah.
I think I might be able to do it.
All right. Hey, I want to let everybody know, Thursday show, we're going to have something special if I can pull it off. You know, I've been working on this ratings guy.
Yep.
I've been leaving days open to get him on.
Yep.
Have not been able to work out a schedule for this guy, but I received an email from a guy named Ralph Young. Ralph Young has fished, I went blank. What lake are they fishing? The open Clark's Hill? Is that right?
Hartwell. 100 and almost 200 guys they just took off this morning.
Yeah. Why did I say Clark's Hill? Oh, because
it's a blueback lake.
I talked to Dave.
It's a blueback lake.
Anyway, he has fished Hartwells for years.
Mm-hmm.
And he offered to be on the water and actually come on the show. And
who did?
Ralph.
Oh.
Ralph Young.
Oh, okay.
All right. So if he can get a good 4G signal, we're going to have him on the show tomorrow to kind of set things up and maybe give us some coverage from Hartwell tomorrow. Then the other thing is I got an email, actually a message. Let me see if I can pull this up real quick. I think the guy's name was John. It's bad. No. Was it John? I've left him. I will try to fill in here.
I don't know where you're going with this.
No, hang on. I left him a, good grief, a voicemail. And I said, hey, man, if you could call me back. Yeah, it was John. John, I believe his last name is Kilby. Not Rob Kilby. No relation.
Yeah.
The professional angler for a zillion years.
Obviously not Rob Kilby since his first name's John.
Right.
Continue.
No relation. I just said no relation.
Okay.
All right. Okay. He is a television sales manager for a television station in the state of Texas. And he deals with the Nielsen ratings all the time.
Really?
So he has volunteered to at least this other guy that is a expert. That I've been trying to...
Ratings
at Nielsen ratings, all kinds of stuff. I'm going to try and get John, who contacted me, who was not my original go-to guy, who I'm still going to try and get the go-to guy on, who is this sales manager for a television station in Texas, to come on the show Thursday and give us some background on the Nielsen ratings, how they're calculated, what do they mean, you know, what are they worth? How important they are to ad agencies to buy media? Because as far as I'm aware, and we will get this confirmed from John tomorrow, if he's able to join the show, is the ad agencies, for the most part, make the media buying decisions. Most of the stuff is outsourced to the ad agencies, and then the ad agencies determine what the media buy is going to be when it comes to television. And then they get a cut. That's how they make money. So,
okay. Cool.
Ratings, very, very important. So we'll get a report from Hartwell. We'll get Ralph on. And then hopefully a signal will be good. And then hopefully we can get John on tomorrow to discuss, in general, the Nielsen ratings and kind of how that works and how important those ratings are.
Real quick, back to that open. It is now the fourth open out of 8 opens for the Falcon Rods Angler of the Year, where the top 4 go. You know, It's the one that like Hallman and all them fishing all of them.
Yeah.
Dude, it's starting to separate. You got Brian New, Swindle, Chrissy, and John Hunter in the top 4, 505 points. And then, you know, 100 points back halfway through the year. Is that makeable upable?
That's a great word, man. I like that.
Because if you're 100 points back, I mean, the guys in trouble are Matthew Robertson, Castledine.
Yeah.
Hallman.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a bunch, you know, Scott Martin's kind of slipping back. Interesting. I just assumed Scott Martin had some sort of deal like, hey, I'm going to find a way to get on the Elite Series, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's Scott Martin, dude. His dad won 9 Angler of the Years.
Okay, goal is- yeah. Yeah.
So I was talking with someone from Bass, and I was just like, they're like, oh, what's the rumor mill going? I'm like, well, you know, it doesn't matter how Scott does in the Opens. He's going to get on the Elite Series.
What?
And this guy was like, wait, what? I was like, well, I mean, that's what everyone's just assuming. And he's like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
He's like, he's got to freaking catch him.
He's got to
be in that top four.
So it's four out of each division, then four in the combined?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yep, and right now,
so 12 spots.
Christie doesn't have a exemption. Gerald Swindle's already in. Yeah, I mean, you got Justin Atkins in there, Scott Martin, Josh Douglas, Randy Blockett, former John Hunter Jr.
Yeah.
So, anyway. All right. Are we going to, real quick, before we get to Mr. Heron, talk about the auction?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. How about that, man? That was something that was not planned. It just happened on the show yesterday or Monday that we did with Steve Bowman. Matt and I decided to put a package together while the show was going on, and lo and behold, what are we sitting at? $1,100.
Yeah. So this is for the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame, raising money for the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame. And there's three pages of stuff, you know, the bassfishinghof.com. Mm-hmm. So we didn't know this yesterday. Steve Bowman was like, oh, you know, I came on to try to get you guys to give up a guest spot. Kind of like we're going to have Matt on as a guest. Yeah. To where you can come in and have a guest spot on BTL. And then all of a sudden it divulged into this, Jeffries is going to fly someone in.
Yeah.
And you can be in the studio to be the guest host of BTL. And then they get to go for a night of cheap beer and bowling with you.
Pizza, beer, and bowling.
And then the next day, I'll take them fishing, whether it's monster crappie fishing in the winter or bass fishing, whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
And then it's like a whole experience.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this. We need to do all that before this person comes on the show.
Okay.
That way that person can talk about the experience.
Okay.
All right.
We can do that.
Yeah.
So then Bowman was like, oh, I'll get it out there. Yeah. And I didn't think anything of it.
It's like, man, we're going to go for $50.
So an hour later, this shows up. Bass Talk Live, value priceless. The highest bidder of this item will receive, I got to read this whole thing, a cornucopia of experiences. Now, if that's not worth bidding for, I don't know what is, folks. It will start with being the co-host of the day with Mark Jeffries and Matt Pangrack on Bass Sounds Bass Talk Live. Talks about how great the show is from Oklahoma City, where Jeffries will help the highest bidder with travel accommodations. But there's more. Jeffries, an accomplished bowler, we'll follow up the show with an evening at the bowling lanes, and there's still more. I feel like we're selling a sham wow here. And there's still more. Pangrack will then take the highest bidder on a fishing trip in one of Oklahoma's hottest spots for a day of fishing. This once-in-a-lifetime opportunity can't be missed. Timing and hosting the trips will be worked out by all parties. So this comes up, and it starts at like $200, and I'm like, God, I hope someone bids on it. Next time I look, it's up to $600. I'm like, Jeffries must be bidding on this.
I'm not. I had nothing to do with it.
Now it's up to $1,100, Mark.
Yeah.
We're raising money. So we're getting outbid. We're getting outbid by the Northerners. We're getting outbid by, this is all of the stuff that's out there right now. Polinick, understandable.
Yeah.
And Chris Johnson. Understandable.
Anybody at 2,000 yet?
No. Fish with Seth Fighters at 1,500, okay. And Chris Johnson's at 1,200. I'll tell you the deal.
We're
here.
Right there.
You can fish with Littner, plus you get a $500 Tackle Warehouse gift card. It's only at $620 right now.
Nah, that's a good deal.
There's a bunch of good stuff up here, all for the bass fishing. You can fish with Bradley Hallman. He's currently at 520. We might even be able to get Brad in on our deal somehow.
Yeah. We'll see if we can work it out.
But anyway.
I'm going to juice it up a little bit.
You're going to juice it up even more.
I'm going to juice it up even more. It won't show up on there unless...
We're going to add to the cornucopia.
Yeah. Whoever the highest bidder is going to receive a brand new, sparkling 900 global bowling ball.
What does that mean?
Value at $200. Well, I can't drill it for him because I only have three drill bits. But we'll get him hooked up with a brand new 900 global bowling ball.
You think you could throw in a FaceTime call with your number one buddy in the world?
Oh, Chris Prather?
Yeah.
Yeah, we might work something
to give
on
him
that.
A bowling
yeah,
tip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is he number one in the world right now?
In the U.S., not
number
the world.
Number one in the U.S.
Not the world. You still have
okay, so
Belamonte.
We'll throw that in. So here's what I'll throw in. I'll throw in a big bite bait soft plastic prize pack.
Yeah.
Worms, the B2 worms, the Cree tails. We'll throw in some BFEs. I'll just hook you up with the big giant thing of soft plastic.
I got a rod and reel I'm going to throw in too, dude.
Is it one of those that's been up in the attic for 10 years?
No, it's priceless. Priceless.
No, the only thing that's priceless is this trip. It says it right there.
Oh, yeah.
Value, you're priceless.
Right. No, rod and reel.
What's the
deal? That is very special to my collection.
What is it? Is it the KVD one?
No, I'm not giving that up. The original prototype of the crankbait rod, no. No. It's an original. It's one that I've had for a long time.
I don't know. I feel like that's a pretty juicy offer. I don't know if you have to throw that in there. Anyway, so go to bassfishinghof.com and then click on the auction tab and then click on the view items. Ours is on the third page, but there's all sorts of different stuff.
It's cool stuff. All for a great cause.
Yep.
Great cause.
What do you think? You think we'll get any more bids on that, or you think we'll stop at 1,100?
When it is the cutoff Friday?
Mm-hmm. Now there are several people that I would really love to be the highest bidder on this, just so that they
don't
have
even
to
go
spend.
There, man. Don't
just
even
so
go
that
there.
They
I'm
have
in a
to
good
spend
mood.
An evening of bowling.
I am in a great
you.
Mood.
I'm just
don't
saying.
Mention any names. There's no reason to mention any names. There,
I'm
Matthew.
Not mentioning names.
Zero reason.
There's some interested people that could be bidding on this. That would. I mean, I wouldn't want to miss a second of you guys spending a day and a half together.
Maybe.
And you would do it because it's for a good cause.
I would do it, and maybe they would find out a side of me.
We would need a security guard.
They just don't know me.
We would need
they don't understand
maybe
me.
Multiple security guards.
They need to realize who I am.
You can go fishing for it with Gussie for 2 days.
I'm a man.
On Lake of the Woods.
I'm 58. No.
All right,
you know,
let's
talk
to Matt.
That was the 13th anniversary yesterday.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
13 years, dude, of Gundy going
We're outbidding a fishing trip with Jimmy Houston. That's saying something.
That is.
On his private lake.
That's loaded.
Yep. You can go steelhead fishing with Jay Yellis.
That would be a cool trip, too.
Now, I'm still thinking this Hack Attack coaching experience. You know how Hackney is. I think that could get awkward. You got a one-hour Skype 3 nights in a row with Hackney. That could get kind of awkward to be.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
But it would be kind of cool.
Oh, it would be awesome.
That's only $280. That'd be a cool gift for someone.
It would.
Latimer's up to $830.
Yeah.
The Wheaties boxes are approaching 3 digits.
Yeah. Good stuff. Check it out, everybody. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back with Matt Herron here on Wednesday. Everybody, stay tuned.
The ultimate fishing system starts with Lowrance HDS Live. The best fish-finding tools, from Chirp Sonar and Fish Reveal to side-scan and down-scan imaging. And complete touchscreen control, from your trolling motor to your big motor.
We've paired one of the most iconic hulls in the history of bass boats with a proven lineup of trusted accessories. We're bringing you best-in-class value and performance, leaving others in your wake. Turnkey value, turnkey performance. The Pantera 2 is an overachiever in the 19-foot category. Once you hit the throttle, you'll feel the rush, and there's no looking back.
Kevin, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just filling in for Billy.
I need 660 shad crankbaits in the Series 5 model.
We're out.
You're not out. You got all kinds of them right there.
We're out.
Kevin, I need 6.
Have a lollipop.
I do not want a lollipop.
Have a lollipop.
Do you have it in sexy shad color?
Let's face it, fishing electronics are no longer an afterthought. They've become a necessity. And at the Bass Take, our experts match you with the right electronics, provide professional installation, and educate you to help maximize your catching results while providing support along the way. Because let's be honest, it's about catching, not just fishing. And when you're ready for better results, join the Bass Take team. Visit us today on Facebook or go to thebasstank.com.
Hey everybody, Todd Faircloth here. Want to show you one of my favorite braided lines, SX1 30-pound Sunline Braid. I use this braided line for a couple of different applications, and one of my favorites to use for this line is a swim jig. Cast great, and it's small diameter, and just works really great on a swim jig. Another technique I like to use for 30-pound SX1 Sunline Braid is whenever I'm flipping like a light, say an eighth to a quarter ounce weight in grass, small diameter, I don't lose much action on my worm, just works great in those scenarios. So if you're looking for a braided line for a swim jig or fishing a light Texas rig, check out Sunline's SX1 30-pound braid.
Duckett Fishing, we have assembled the top pros in the country to help us design rods to give you a competitive advantage.
Castability, strength, durability, action, sensitivity, weight and balance, and consistency.
Combine that with the best warranty in the industry, and you have rods that are pro-driven.
Duckett Fishing, pro-driven.
Blue Water by TH Marine, offering LED lighting solutions for your boat, trailer, truck, ATV, and so much more. Engineered and built to be rugged with waterproof and submersible options. Designed for easy installation, Blue Water is available in a variety of colors and styles. All backed by a limited lifetime warranty. Blue Water by TH Marine.
All of us on the Pro Tournament Trail use Gamigatsu hooks.
Why?
Because they are absolutely the best.
It's not about how many bites you get.
It's how many you put in the boat.
Gamigatsu makes hooks for every fishing style.
We didn't come this far to lose fish.
Did you?
For more information, visit Gamigatsu.com.
The Big Bite Baits Kamikaze Swim On is a very unique bait, and it's got a full body, but with ribs to give it a bigger profile, but not more plastic. It's got a jointed tail that gives it a lot of action, as well as this up and down crawl type trail with holes and ribs in it, so it creates a bubble trail almost. This bait is supposed to be fished upside down or vertical like this on a great for a chatterbait. I prefer it on a swim jig as well, but you can also cut it down and put it on the back of a finesse jig. You know, flip it around for some spotted bass or flipping docks. Anytime you want a small, compact, you know, little trailer for it, this is great for it. So check out the full lineup of swim-ons at BigBiteBaits.com.
All right, we are back on a Wednesday. It is time to go to our special guest.
I didn't realize how consistent he's been.
Do what?
Well, Matt Herron, you think shallow power water, stubborn guy, he's going to tank a few, right? I mean, that's just what you think. No, he hasn't.
I never thought that.
I'm just saying, typically, you get the hard-headed.
I would never
you
tell
get the
Matt
hard-headed, shallow water guys stuck in their ways.
He's not going to tank. I would never say that.
They're going to go in and they're going to say, I'm going to flip this damn wood and then I'm going to flip it some more. And when they don't bite, I'm going to go back and I'm going to flip it a third time. And then they're going to end up finishing 90th. Right. It's just going to happen. Well, that has it happened. If you look at his stats on Bassmaster,
yeah,
the last time that Matt Herron finished below 60th was like the middle of the 2018 season. And we're halfway through the 2020 season.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of... So, I mean, listen, 17th, 19th, 18th, 20th, 5th, 16th, 40th, 41st, 10th,
tell
16th,
him. He's right
38th, 32nd.
Tell him.
Is that not true, though? I mean, do you not feel like the you got a certain set of guys that just say... this is what I'm going to do, and I don't give a damn if I catch him or not.
Yeah, you do. You do. But, you know, that attitude don't pay very well. So, and you know, I've fought that gremlin in my head for a lot of years, because there's a lot of times I'd really just like to kind of go back to my roots and pick up the flipping stick. But, you know, you don't make a lot of classics, and the long drive home when you're broke, they don't go over so well. So.
When was the last time you flipped out of spite? I mean, when was the last time you just said, screw it, I'm flipping. Even though you didn't catch it, you knew you weren't going to catch it, you just had a miserable 2 days and went home.
That's a long time ago, man. I mean, I kind of quit that. When I was fishing FLW back, you know, when I started my career, all the way up to about 2008. 2008 was probably the last time I'd done it, just because with those 200-man fields and the way they were, guys were crashing release fish, and it just turned into a weenie worm tour, and I just finally said, I just rain on it. I'm flipping. I'm done with this.
Wow. All right, Matt. Wow, we appreciate you taking time once again to come on, and the reason I wanted to get you on, can you tell Matt and I and the fans what we can kind of expect next week? Is it going to be a grind? Is it going to be an area thing? Is it going to be a spot thing? What's the scoop?
It's going to be a grind. It's going to be so much going on different. You'll obviously see guys fishing in 25 foot of water. You'll obviously see guys, you know, you're going to see guys throwing frogs. You're going to see about everything. We're right in the change. We're getting the first cool nights of the year. Days in the 60s next week. So who knows? I mean, it's the fish are going to be all over the place. It's going to be one of them deals. I think a guy's going to have to junk fish to win it. I think you're going to have multiple things going on, because we ain't deep enough into the fall where they started grouping up again yet.
Is this going to be a deal where we start hearing about fall turnover and thermoclines and all that stuff?
Well, we very well could, especially when we hit Santee the next week, and then flow in the Tennessee River right now. The river shouldn't turn over. We may see some creek arms turn over, but that shouldn't be a problem at Gunnersville.
Do rivers turn over? Is there like a thermocline and stuff in rivers?
Yeah, if they get real stagnant, they ain't no flow. Yeah.
As long as there's flow, there's no thermocline. This is a rookie question, Matt. It'll tell you how much I experience that about the TVA. But I mean,
you know, I've seen a few rivers turn over, but it's basically been years of drought where they're just not generating enough flow, and the water gets extremely hot, and you get some cool till night's headed, it'll flip it. But we've stayed fairly wet down here in the south this summer, so we've got plenty of flow going down the river, so it shouldn't be a turnover issue. But some of the big major creek arms where they're kind of mm-hmm. sitting. Yeah, you could see a little bit of turnover going on.
All right, Matt, be honest. Everybody loves to catch smallmouth. There was quite the swing, obviously the northern swing, where the focus was on smallmouth for the most part. Are you glad to be back in a situation where the focus is going to be on largemouth?
Yeah, no. You know, it was always nice to end the year up north in the summer. I mean, when it was really hot down here, I enjoyed going up there. I've actually gotten to where I enjoy picking up the spinning rod and catching them little big brown things. But, you know, I just don't have a lot of, like everybody else, we haven't fished a lot in the fall. And, you know, I have some experience on Gunnersville. And the year I qualified for the Elite Series in 08, I finished second at Gunnersville. Of course, Randall Tharp beat me. He beat me twice that year. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. It's just one of them deals where you're going to have to get your mind right. I mean, it's going to have to get back into the mental aspect of it's going to be a grind. And you know, we fish all year long where you've got fish coming to you, you've got fish grouping up, and this is going to take me back to my old Alabama roots and really old Southern roots where I'm going to have to lay out multiple things and get it on. So I'm looking forward to it. I just don't think a guy's going to be able to sit in one place in the tournament.
All right, let me ask you about practice. How do you approach practice when you kind of have laid down the groundwork on how this thing, at least how you think it's going to play out? Do you hook a lot of fish? Do you focus on graphing? I mean, what's kind of the scoop on what you're going to do during practice?
You know, the biggest thing is Gunnersville is going to be covered enough water to, you know, these fish will be, there's so much grass there, they'll be in little bitty areas. Yes, if you want to fish shallow, same thing offshore. There won't be a lot of groups of fish offshore, but there'll be small little areas where there'll be, you know, 10, 15 fish in a school. So it's going to be little bitty spots. This will be a deal. It won't be a guy won't be able to run a pattern necessarily. It's going to be specific areas. So you're going to have to stay moving. Me, I won't stick a lot of fish in practice at all. Just basically I'm looking for bait. I'm looking for certain type of grass, certain types of offshore stuff. And it, I'm sure I'll run the Skeeter Slam dry every day of practice.
Is there as much recreational and tournament pressure on Gunnersville in the end of September as there is in March, April, May, or is it?
It never stops. They had a tournament last Saturday and Sunday there. They had a Spro Frog kayak tournament. I forgot what they got there this weekend. And then we fish next week. And then on Saturday, top 10 day of the Elite Series, there's a 300-plus boat Spro Frog tournament out of the state park with the top 10 guys going out.
Ooh.
On our final day.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot of boats.
That would really suck if you're on a frog pattern, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know, those guys will be practicing all week long. I think it pays pretty good, so it's going to be interesting to say the least. Chickamauga is going to be the same way. We've got major tournaments leading up on it. It's pounded. No, I think the only lake we're going to fish really hadn't been pounded severely is Santee. So,
but let me ask you this.
Gunnersville is going to be interesting.
Matt, I know you probably haven't been following BTL, but I recently discovered that fishing for bass and grass is a phenomenal way, phenomenal way to catch some fish.
Yeah.
I'm so new into it that on Rayburn, my day two co-angler said, "Man, Matt, you are giving me my first lesson in grass punching." And I said, "Hell, it's my first lesson in grass punching too." Do fish in the grass, do they get conditioned to baits? Because in my mind, you get out there on a hump, a ledge, a shell bed, a rock pile, something like that, and it's like, oh, those fish get used to seeing all that stuff. Does the same thing happen in the grass, or do grass fish hold up to pressure much better than open water fish, in your opinion, to where you can have a 300 Spro boat tournament and something's going on and, you know, you're still putting it in front of them and they're biting it?
Yeah, you know, they'll get conditioned, and then they'll get, you know, really funky about pressure. But the big thing about especially punching grass is mainly reaction bites. And then if you'll notice within that grass, there's certain little spots in there, whether it's whatever the structure is on the bottom or whatever, there's little sweet spots. And you literally can be 10 yards from a 20-pound bag and never get a bite. So guys can be all over you. I was referencing, you know, I finished second up there at Gunnersville the year I qualified for the Elites. And I literally, the reason why I ran to won that tournament is I had a local follow me on day three. There was probably 30, 40 locals on me that morning. But there was a local tournament out of the area that I was fishing. When I got there, I had a local that watched me on Friday sitting on the juice. Would not move. I pulled in there and asked nicely. So I had to just kind of wander around, and I stayed out of the little area, and I was catching fish. And I had one of the guys that followed me say, "Man, you having a struggle this morning not catching no good?" And I said, "Yeah," because he said, "You see that Triton right there?" He goes, "Yeah." He said, "He's on the juts." A few minutes later, I hear the doggonest confrontation take place you've ever heard. And there was about three of them going to go over and whoop that boy. He left. I went right in there. This is to your point about pressure and knowing what's going on. He left, tore it up with his outboard. I let it sit about 30 minutes, went right in there and caught 20 pounds in about 15 minutes.
Wow.
So the great advantage of grass is a guy that knows what he's doing and a guy that understands how those fish set up. Those fish will hold up to pressure better than offshore fish.
All right. I don't know this. Obviously, this is why I'm asking. But the hurricane that came through there, did it dump a lot of rain on your area?
Okay. Missed us. Okay. Yeah, I think Santee, you know, the next one coming up, got a lot of rain. But this, it kind of tracks south. It went across. And we're forecast to get 3 to 5 inches of rain tomorrow and Friday. Right on.
Wow. So wow.
That could be a game changer. But if anything, it'll just help it out. I think we need a change. We need some cool nights. We need some fresh water. We need something to kind of move these fish. They're kind of still stuck in the summer doldrums. I went up to Nickajack, the lake above, Monday, playing around with some stuff. And those fish up there, they're lethargic. They're still stuck in a summertime deal.
How would you sum up your season so far, Matt?
You know, it's been pretty solid. I've had a couple of tournaments where I really should have shined that I didn't execute on. I should have been in the top three at St. Lawrence, and I just them brownfish up there. I ain't figured out how to catch them. They whoop me every time I go up there. I cannot put them in a boat. I can get them on. I've tried every kind of drop shot hook, every kind of rod. I don't know. But it's been solid. I mean, I'm sitting okay in the points. You got to make hay when you get a chance. I haven't really had a tournament where I felt like that everything lined up for me, but the next four I'm really looking forward to, because especially the two Tennessee River Lakes, if I find the right stuff, then I'm a threat to win.
All right.
Now, what percent of the field has fished them this time of the year, would you say? That's fishing in the Elite Series here. I mean, how many guys have experience on
not very those, many. Those two. There's one that's a holy terror, and he's going to be so hard to deal with, Buddy Gross.
Yeah.
Buddy and I probably got as much as much experience as anybody there, and it's that fall fishing deal is going to be different. It's going to be very, very different, and it's should make for some good TV. I don't know if we're going to have any live or not, but we could have a couple of guys get on some really strong frog stuff in both events. And how cool would it get to be to sit all day at work watching choking on Kermit?
That'd be pretty good. That would be cool. That would be really cool. How tough is Santee going to be, Matt?
You know, I really don't know. I went over, Bill Owen and I shared a room over there and rode around for a couple of days, and it's the only time I'd ever fished the Elite. And it that thing's a monster, man. It's big. Yeah. It's a gigantic lake. But if you know, those typical MO on that place is it's full of giant fish, but they move out after the spring and they go it's full of standing timber and they kind of get away from you. But they had a CBA tournament over there, or CBC, Carolina Bass Challenge, whatever it is. I seen it on the internet. And the weights are really pretty good, 22, 23 pounds. So apparently it's going to fish pretty good.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of flip-flopping. And you got Wendlet, who's leading the Angler of the Year. And I'm just saying, because usually we're saying, hey, can the northern guys get through the southern events in position for the Angler of the Year to get up north? Well, now it's can the southern guys get through the northern events in position to get back south? And I mean, you got, Paul Mueller and Jamie Hartman and Seth Fider and Corey Johnson and Austin Felix and Polinick and Chris Johnson. I mean, all those guys are historically northern guys that are up there. And then there's a whole group of those guys that, like you know, you're in position there in 26th place with 333 mm-hmm. points. You're within 100 points of the lead. But I mean, you do what you're supposed to do in the next three, like a Seth Fider did what he was supposed to do in the last three, and now it flip-flops, and you go in with one tournament left for the whole shebang.
Right. Well, if I was a betting man, you go to Vegas and put all your coins on Clark. Because Clark, we're fixing to hit in his wheelhouse. I'm just telling you, I fished against him at FLW for multiple years. I fished against him here. And he is an absolute beast in the fall. I fished when we had those FLW series tournaments. I just know his style. I know his strengths. This thing, I'm shocked.
What's the deal with the fall? What makes a good fall angler? If you were to just put together a very general good fall angler, what are some of the traits that they all have?
It's got to be extremely versatile. And you know, you can't be a one trick pony. You can't be a grass puncher. You can't be a drop shotter. You're going to have to be good at a lot of things. And to me, the one key bait, especially at Santee and especially at Fork, it's going to be a major player, is a square bill crankbait. I just setting up for it. Clark is very, very good with that type of deal. He's very good with a spinnerbait. I just think you're going to if he can get through Gunnersville, and he should, he'll win AOI. I believe in his abilities that much, and he's just it sets up for him.
Yeah, and he's got three Angler of the Years over on
on
FLW. So I mean, right now you should probably go to bassfishinghof.com and bid on Clark Woodlett's mini frosted mini wheats boxes that he's on the cover on, because those things are going to skyrocket in value if what Matt Herron happens comes to fruition.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know what's going to happen, but when you fish against these guys, and I, as long as I have, you kind of know what everybody's the better guys, what their strengths and weaknesses are. And Clark just ain't really got no big weaknesses. And I know that when fish key up on bait, I fished against him up in the Ozarks, on Lake of the Ozarks, in a series tournaments where Wood was a player. And just, I know I've competed against him enough that I know what his strengths are. And it's, if he finds them, it's over. Everybody else is playing.
That's high praise. I mean, you're talking about a veteran talking about another veteran that he's fished in multiple different tours around the year. So that's impressive. What's the craziest thing you've ever been on the cover of, Matt? We were talking about him being on the frosted mini wheat. Do you ever had anything that you've been on the cover of that's unique?
No. Bass times. That's about it.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but it ain't crazy. I ain't been on no cereal boxes. None of that other stuff, no. But it's gonna be interesting. I earlier trying to get everything organized, amplify it down, and the biggest thing with 2.5 days of practice on these events with so much water, you gotta be diving, because you get out here and it's gonna be about 90% of that lake it's unproductive, 5,000 acres of it.
Wow. All right, man.
Have you never had a Bassmaster cover?
No, never had.
What the hell?
Huh.
I think we need to make a push for Mr. Herron to be on a Bassmaster cover.
Hey, it's simple. Win.
Yeah, go
just
win.
Just win.
Yeah, I was going to say, all I need to do is go win Gunnersville next week.
Yeah.
I get the cover.
Exactly.
She owes me. I finished second or third up there. The last time we were there, I finished 10th in the Classic. Yep. I've got multiple top 10s. I told somebody that day, if I ever win one, it'll be there.
All right. Sweet. Very cool. All right, Matt.
Hopefully we'll get done.
Hey, man, best of luck to you next week. We'll be watching for you, and greatly appreciate you taking time to fill Matt and I and the fans in on what we can expect next week. It's going to be some really, really good watching from a fan perspective, because – I believe you're really going to have to fish. I mean, it is going to be a fan's perspective of adjustments, getting dialed in, and focus.
Remember
in
hockey, they had the term.
I can't wait for that.
They had the term, that's a goal scorer's goal.
Yeah.
And if you're not following it, you're like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
This is a tournament fisherman's tournament coming up.
Yeah, it really is. So best of luck to you,
Matt. All four of them coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. All right, man. Take care. All right. Apologize
we,
a little bit.
We his, got through that good.
Yeah, his internet feed was a little sketchy.
We also have breaking news.
What's that?
We're now up to $1,140.
Oh!
We just became $40
more. Because of the bowling ball.
$40 more valuable, Mark.
The bowling ball and the baits made it, man. Wow. Hey, that was a good question. Why is fall fishing so tough, Matt? From the perspective of guys that you have spoken with, it seems to be, to me.
I love it. Absolutely love it.
It is all related to the thermocline and the turnover.
I think it's tough because, especially in early fall, and I just did a big hour-long thing on decision-making. Mm-hmm. And it's, you have a lot of decisions and all of them can be productive. Think about that, what he talked about how everything is in play. So it's not, I'm going to do the exact same thing all day and build a deal, or I'm going to sight fish, or I'm only going to fish secondary points. Like, you have so many different things that can either throw you off or help you. And you, I feel like, at least for me, when I go into an early season tournament, mm-hmm. I'm going to throw jerkbait on secondary points or these style of docks or whatever. That's what I'm going to do all day. I'm going to sight fish all day. I'm going to fish deep all day. When you go into a fall tournament, I'm going to be doing five or six different things over the course of the day. And Rayburn started to get like that in the open, but like I said, you throw a drop shot, you can fish grass, you can throw a topwater, you can go crank, you can throw a spinnerbait, you can run up the rivers, you can stay out main lake deep, you can go up, and you have all these different options, and there's one that's the winning combination.
Yeah.
That's why I like it so much. That, and I covered the Elite Series for 12 years, was at every single tournament during the spring and summer. So the only time I got to fish was in the fall, you know, by myself. And everyone else was in a deer stand, so I pretty much learned in Oklahoma and around this region how to fish in the fall and not how to fish like pre-spawn, spawn, post-spawn, summer, because I was always covering Elite Series tournaments. So I suck at like the most productive times of the year, and I feel like now, or you know, a couple weeks ago, now through the rest of the year is where I'm super comfortable.
Yeah, I'm sorry, dude. I just got a text. There was a guy, you know who Steve Marshall is.
Yeah.
Steve's been in radio for almost 40 years, a long time. Anyway, he just sent me a text. There was a guy, his name is Randy LaFoon. And Randy LaFoon really had an impact on what Gary Giudice and I did on the radio way before the XM days. Randy actually purchased the local radio station here in Norman, KREF, and wanted outdoor programming to be a part of that radio station. I know we did it. Drew did it. Gary did it. Kenyon has done it. And I just got a text that Randy passed away. So I know he'd been sick for a while. Randy and I actually coached against each other back when you were helping Mark, and you were helping me with Little League. Randy was one of the coaches, and we had some heated battles. Imagine that, between the team that he coached and the team that I coached. So my thoughts, Randy was a very influential person locally for me, and gave the outdoors an opportunity here locally to get the exposure from a radio format. So Randy LaFoon passed away today, and heavy hearts for the family of Randy. And Randy was a cool dude, and he definitely will be missed, not only in the Norman community, but really all across the state of Oklahoma. He was very active in all of the radio broadcasting associations. And wow, thoughts are with his sons. I know his son, two of them, one went on to be a really, really good soccer player at ORU. And bum deal, man. Kind of bummed out. So thoughts are with the LaFoon family. And I know Steve was real close to him, too. So I'm sure Steve's going through a rough time right now. All right, man. Didn't mean to end the show on a downer note. It's just I just found out, and I wanted to mention Randy, because he was very, as I mentioned, very influential on fishing in the outdoors here in Oklahoma from a radio standpoint. All right, tomorrow, hopefully we can get John on. We're going to have Ralph Young on. And then if for some reason I'm able to fit this guy's schedule that I'm trying to get. This guy, I've been saying there are two people that I'm trying to get on here. One has been an advertising veteran for over 30 years, who is the managing editor of an advertising magazine. All right?
Okay.
But I don't know the guy.
Okay.
And I've been communicating with this guy back and forth via email to get him on the show. This is a big time dude when it comes to advertising, but I think he's a little hesitant to come on the show. Why, I don't know. But I get the bass fishing ? A few times. So I'm still working on that. And then another guy who is he's involved in the industry, but he's not at the same time, because he deals from a sporting standpoint in sports advertising. And fishing is just a tiny part of his portfolio of what he's involved with. So that's what I'm working on, man.
I had an interesting conversation with someone else.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've had multiple press releases. We had Bass come out. 7.1, what is it, million minutes viewed.
Know. Yeah.
And then you had the MLF press release, which didn't miss words about how amazing their viewership is, towering over the competition, crushing all other competitors underfoot. And I'm having this conversation with this guy, and he's like, okay, does anybody really care? Like, if you like watching the Bassmasters, do you give a damn that there were 7.1 million minutes consumed? Or if you like watching MLF, do you care that they have 87% of the TV market? Like,
as a fan?
Yeah, like, how does that impact the normal fan? It doesn't. He said, what you've got here is you've got these two organizations, and they're in a battle with each other.
Yeah.
And their press releases and their minutes and their numbers and all that stuff for the fans like us. I mean, it's great because they're trying to put out more and have more product and be the winner, but it's really catered to the sponsorship dollars and fighting with each other. Is that not the truth? Like, if you're a BTL fan and stuff like that, if we're coming on here saying there were 8 billion minutes of BTL consumed, which is X number of minutes more than other podcasts out, like, who cares? You enjoy BTL. You enjoy other podcasts. It doesn't matter how many minutes are there. So all of this giant infighting about what it's are the true numbers and what are the minutes and all that, like, dude, there's like maybe a couple hundred people who give a crap about it.
Well, it's related back to the ad revenue.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the bottom line. And perception and image and those statistics being out in the public eye are important from a perceived standpoint.
Right, but how many of those people are making the decisions based on the perceived standpoint and stuff are a very few number of people. And there's a lot of energy put towards numbers and press releases.
It's related back to the ad revenue.
That's what I'm saying. But the fans, the average person.
But I still think that
I think it's very interesting. It's very interesting.
I think it catches people's attention. Now, do they digest it and make consumer decisions or make a listening or watching decision
I'm not going to read a press release and say, oh, well, I'm going to watch this one because it's obviously more popular.
Yeah.
If I enjoy the other one. Or like I said, I'm going to watch both of them and not care what the numbers are as long as it's a quality product. But I think it's an interesting discussion because we do talk a lot about the stuff behind the scenes and kind of how the industry ticks and what makes it work. So I think it's very valuable. But I'm just saying it's easy to lose perspective of, like, in the grand scheme of things, this ratings war that we have going on between the organizations.
It's about advertising revenue.
The fans truly care about it. It's about the people and the sponsors and the ad dollars that care about it, and all the rest of this stuff just kind of falls into place around it. Fair point?
No, you're dead on.
Easy to miss that point when you're in the industry and you're talking about it and stuff. Oh, can you believe this, this, and this? Well, no. You want to turn the TV on. You want to turn your live stream on. You want to watch it. Like, if you enjoy it, do you really care how many other people are watching it?
Well, COVID, some people want to say, oh, well, COVID really hasn't had an impact on, you know, ad revenues and what the bottom line revenue, potential revenue being generated for these organizations. I think it seriously has had a major impact, but not just for now, but for the future, because there's so many companies out there that are realizing what consumer behavior was during COVID-19 that are making decisions based upon what that consumer behavior was. Hence, that's why you're going to see 2021 in a totally, totally different perspective for some companies based upon what has taken place during the business elements of COVID-19 when it comes to their products, organizations, companies, and services. Bottom line, it is going to change things in 2021 and in the future. So it is what it is, man. I want to thank Matt Herron. Good stuff there.
He looks like he's like in really good shape too. I didn't want to get awkward and bring that up, but did he not look like he was in really good shape? Yeah.
Well, he's fishing well.
Yeah.
He's fishing well.
Like, physically, he was like trimmed down. And
He's got a good
four
dude,
big
man.
Ones. I keep forgetting about Fork. Because you've got Fork in there. Yeah. You've got Gunnersville, Chickamauga, Santee Cooper,
and Fork.
And Fork.
In the fall.
That's pretty cool. God, I hope it all goes smooth and everything goes well.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be fun to watch. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in today. By the way, please do not forget to give us a rating and a review over on iTunes. It helps us out immensely. Hey, we keep increasing the number of subscribers. We've only been doing YouTube for almost a year now. So that is continuing to grow. Please subscribe to us if you have not, to where you can get the notification when we go live. Also, make sure you check out the auction over on the Bass Fishing Hall of Fame page. Matt's got baits, I got bowling balls.
And even if you don't want to come hang out with us for $1,200, you can get some other cool stuff.
There's a
bunch of stuff under $200 on there now.
There's some cool stuff out there. All right, everybody, we will be back tomorrow. Everybody stay tuned. That's it. We're out of here.